been missing you. Okay, I'm not going to wax philosophical or reminiscent or sentimental. It's just good to be with you is all I'm saying this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and we're going to pray blessing over you and your house right now. Father, thank you for blessing us in every way. We're the most blessed people, and we know why. It's because of you, not us. And so we now honor you and your work, and we obey your word when it comes to the giving of tithe and offering. And as we do, we know that blessing will come from your hand back to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may remain seated as the ushers serve you. How many of you are ready for a good word this morning? Last week, you got a good one and you were dismissed by 11. So that may be catching on. We'll see how it goes. Well, the word is always good. One of the most popular stories in Scripture, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, is the story that we're all familiar with, how that Jesus and his disciples were on a boat crossing the lake, and a storm came out of nowhere. Some translations call it a hurricane. And Jesus was asleep. Now, he was on board, but asleep. And the disciples panicked and woke him up. And Jesus rebuked the storm, and there was an immediate calm that settled and replaced the storm. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, asked those disciples this question. It says, Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" Now, what a loaded question coming from Jesus to his disciples, those who had been with him the most, those who knew him the best. They had seen and heard everything he had said and done. And they had learned a lot from him, but still, in the middle of this scenario, he speaks calm to a storm and then looks at his disciples and says, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" And I'd like to talk to you about that this morning. Where is your faith? In another occasion in the Gospels, Jesus was walking through the crowds, and a man came up to him who was the father of a boy that was demon-possessed. And the father said to Jesus, "Master, I have a son who is possessed with an evil spirit, and this evil spirit will sometimes send him into convulsions and seizures. Sometimes this evil spirit will throw him in the water and try to drown him. Other times this evil spirit will drive him into a fire and try to burn him." And the father said to Jesus, "I took my boy that's possessed with this demon to your disciples, and I asked them to cast him out, but they could not." And Jesus looked at his disciples. I'm treading softly even to say it, but it's in the word. Jesus looked at his disciples and called them a faithless generation. Those are haunting words to people who are around the Lord, people who know the Lord, people who are followers of the Lord. And yet, this issue of faith and where your faith really is comes home to each of us. He called his own followers a faithless generation. This father cried out to Jesus and said, "Have compassion and heal my son." And Jesus said to this father, "If you can believe, all things are possible." And then the story goes on in Mark chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, "Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears," listen to what he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, it appears when he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, it's a contradiction. On the one hand, he's saying, I'm a believer. I can trust you with this. On the other hand, immediately in the same breath, saying, oh, I've got to tell the truth about it. I do need help with my faith. I'm dealing with a measure of unbelief. I'm dealing with some honest doubt here. I believe, yes, Lord, I believe. Count me in as a believer, but I'm struggling with my faith at some level. Now, if we will be honest today, we too could say what this father said, Lord, I believe, but help that part of me that's struggling with faith on this point. Lord, I believe you can meet this need in my life, but help my unbelief. I'm struggling with it still. Lord, I believe you can restore my marriage or even recreate my marriage and cause it to be heaven on earth. Lord, I believe you can do that at my house. But to be honest with you, I'm dealing with some unbelief about it. How real can a person get? Lord, I believe you can heal me from my disease, but help my unbelief. Lord, I believe you can rescue my child. Deliver them from the mess they're in. Lord, I believe you can do it, but help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Now, faith is the most important thing in our lives as Christians. More important than money, property, more important than anything tangible and visible. Because everything that is visible and tangible is influenced by that which is invisible and spiritual and eternal. And faith is what we live by. I want to pay tribute to a man that went home to be with heaven just a few weeks ago. I'd known him almost all of my life, all of my adult life. Bubba Grimsley was his name. Now, Bubba was a character, and if you knew him, you've got a Bubba Grimsley story. I remember one time I flew to Nicaragua for a mission trip, and Brian Hudson picked me up at the airport, and first thing he said is, Bubba Grimsley's here, and he's waiting on you and me to come to the coffee shop and drink coffee with him. And so that's one of my Bubba Grimsley stories. But Bubba was a missionary, an evangelist. He was a faith preacher. He was a Rhema graduate. He lived for a while in Nicaragua. He lived for a while in Africa as missionaries. He went home to be with the Lord a few weeks ago, but one of my Bubba Grimsley stories is when our church was just a few months old, Bubba was living in Florence at the time and attending our services, and he was 10 years or so older than I am and had more experience in ministry. And so he said to me, Carl, whenever you need to go to the hospital to visit somebody next time, let me know. I'd like to go with you. It's part of my gifting, part of my calling. I just love to pray for the sick. So there was a gentleman in our church who was in the hospital, scheduled for open heart surgery. There were four blockages and all of that. And tomorrow morning, he was going in the OR for a quadruple bypass open heart surgery. So I called Bubba and I said, well, I'm going up to pray for our brother. He's got open heart surgery in the morning and he's in the hospital. And so Bubba Grimsley and I went up to visit, and we went in the room, and there's the patient lying in the bed. And we talked with him for a minute or two about his surgery the next morning. And then Bubba Grimsley asked this man in the hospital facing open heart surgery tomorrow morning. He said, my brother, how can we agree with you in prayer? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? How do you want us to agree with you in prayer while we're here? And the man said this, the patient said this, I'll tell you how you can pray with me and agree with me. Pray that in the morning, in that surgery, the doctors will have no problems, that it will be a successful surgery. It would bring the healing that I need, and I'll recover, make a full recovery, and this will be in my past, and I'll be healed and happy for the rest of my life. And so Bubba led the prayer. He said, okay, that's exactly how we're going to pray. And I didn't think anything about it in terms of divine principle and faith at that moment. But after we left that room, Bubba said to me, Carl, you'll realize what I did. I asked him where his faith was before we prayed. I said, yeah, I saw. He said, the reason before you pray for somebody, this is going to be important in just a few minutes when our prayer team is available to pray for you if you'd like prayer for a need in your life. But Bubba explained to me, when you pray for somebody who has a need, find out where their faith is. I asked the man, how can we agree with your faith? Where is your faith? What are you believing God for? And the man said, I'm believing that the surgery will be a success and I'll be healed through the surgery. And Bubba said, now Carl, that's how we prayed. We agreed with his faith. We found out where his faith is and we agreed with it. Bubba said, I'm quoting Bubba a lot. Bubba said, now Carl, when I asked that man, where is your faith? If he had said, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you where my faith is. I'm believing they're going to examine me one more time in the morning before surgery, and they're going to find that supernaturally and miraculously I'm healed and I don't even need the heart surgery. That's my faith. Bubba said, if he had said that, we'd have prayed that way. And so this thing of where is your faith, the big question Jesus asked his closest followers, and he's asking us today, it's a question we need to answer. And by the way, God healed that man through surgery just the way he believed, and we prayed in agreement. But it has happened the other way. Some of you know John Ganey and his wife Sue Ann. They're related to us somehow. But John Ganey, years ago, was given the same diagnosis. He was in the hospital. His heart surgery was to be the next morning. And the doctor came around the night before the surgery and said, Mr. Ganey, you had all this go. We had you scheduled for surgery. But according to the new x-rays we just got, they are fine. And we're discharging you to go home. So God can do it that way. But it's important to answer the question when you're dealing with a need in your life, where is your faith? God can supernaturally deliver you. I've seen it happen at every level. Financially, you're in a mess financially. Well, where's your faith? How do you believe God's going to meet that need? I dealt with somebody a while back who was going through an addiction. They had bottomed out. I mean, they had hit rock bottom. They just reaching out, God, please help me. And they realized, well, the help could come through a rehab. It could be a two-month out-of-state rehab. You can go to a Christian center. You can do that if you want to. Or another extreme, God can supernaturally deliver you. I've seen it work both ways, but in large part and to a great degree, the way God works and meets needs in our life is largely determined by where our faith is. What can we believe him for? Now, faith, we're talking about faith, is the bedrock of our entire belief system. Listen to some of the things the Word of God says about faith. It is impossible to please God without it. Do we need to know any more about faith? Other than if we ain't got none, God ain't happy. Simple. Impossible to please God without this thing called faith. the greatest, most important spiritual issue in each of our lives. The Bible says we are saved by it, by our faith in God's grace. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I mean, that's the smallest measurable amount. If you've got even just a little bit, Jesus said, your faith has the power to move mountains, even just a little bit, a mustard seed size of faith. Jesus said, if you got any at all, you got enough to get started. Even if it's the size of a mustard seed. Jesus at one time said to a crowd of people, why are you so fearful, you of little faith? So we see faith comes in different quantities. There's a very small amount, and then there's a little bit of faith. And yet at other groups, sometimes Jesus saw great faith at work in a person's life. And when he did, the Bible says Jesus, who cannot be surprised, cannot be shocked, was marveled and said, that is a great faith I see working in you right now. And so Jesus would meet a person's need based on where the person's faith is. That's the way it happens most of the time. There are some exceptions. He can play the sovereignty card and do whatever he pleases. But there are principles that govern faith. And we are born again by faith. And we need to know how to efficiently use our faith. One time, a woman in the New Testament had an internal bleeding issue. The King James called it an issue of blood. For 12 years, hemorrhaging. Gone to all the doctors. They couldn't help her. She had spent her money, so now she's sick and bankrupt. After 12 years of hurting and no sign of it getting better. But she found her way to Jesus because of a belief system. She realized deep inside herself, and she even said to herself, if I can just, the Bible says she said to herself. Some of us are saying the wrong things to our own self. She said to herself, if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Where was her faith? Right there. Sometimes you'll know where your faith is. You'll locate your faith when you say something to your own self. And Jesus realized somebody had touched his clothes and there was a healing that had just happened. And he looked around at that woman and he said this about her faith. He said this to her about her faith. Your faith has made you whole. Where is your faith? On another occasion, he was ministering to two blind men. They were blind and he healed them. And he said to the two blind men who could suddenly and miraculously see, he said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. So, I mean, faith is important. One time, there was a paralyzed man who had no hope of getting to Jesus. He was dependent on other people. Nobody here right now in that bad of a shape. And so he had some friends he was connected to. The Bible says four of his friends gathered him on his mat and took him to the house where Jesus was teaching. Couldn't get in, packed out like it is here. On Easter Sunday. Must have been Easter in that house. And how strong was their faith? Where was their faith? They said, well, if we can't go through the door, we'll go up and tear shingles off the roof. We'll lower this sick boy right in the room where Jesus is. And that's what they did. I mean, faith works. Faith breaks a sweat and goes to work. Where is our faith? The Bible says when they tore off the roof and lowered that man on a mat down into the room of the house where Jesus was preaching, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. First of all, a couple things there. Your faith, whether you know where it is or not, Jesus sees where your faith is. The Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Now, another point, he didn't see the paralyzed man's faith. The paralyzed man was so weak. Thank God for friendships and the body of Christ and brothers and sisters and people who are there for us when we need somebody there for us. All of you get there from time to time. And this paralyzed man at least had something working for him. He had some people with faith around him. He was around people who could break a sweat for him when he didn't have the strength to do it. And so it was their faith Jesus saw. And the Bible also says this, when Jesus returns, he will not be looking for temples, stained glass windows, beautiful architecture, buildings, symphonies that music is inspired by the life of Christ. He will not be looking for anything that's made by man. The Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Where is your faith? The brother of the Lord Jesus, his brother, James, who wrote a book in the New Testament by that name, the book of James. He was also the first pastor of the church at Jerusalem. He was a special fellow. The Lord's brother, or half-brother, technically, and the first pastor in the church at Jerusalem. He wrote these words, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and does not withhold, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. How many of you know that sometimes our prayer life can be empty words? I mean, we go through the motion. We know what to say, but it's words. But are we asking in faith with nothing wavering? For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And you know, these are striking words. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. What kind of man? Well, a man that thinks he's asking in faith, but he's wavering. He's not reached that critical place where the subject of our message today reached. Lord, I believe, but help. I mean, we've got to get that real. Got to get that real. We go, Lord, I believe. You know, I mean, I've seen enough. If I never see any more, I've seen enough. You don't have to prove yourself to me anymore. I know God is for life. But Lord, I'm struggling with this thing. I got to confess to you also. I got some unbelief gnawing at me. Jesus said, if you ask, you'll receive. But if you ask in faith, nothing wavering. And James goes on to say, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Asking in faith. And then, I'm about to close. Because I got this feeling God is speaking. And he can say more in a minute than we can process in a lifetime. If you have an ear to hear, say amen this morning. Amen. So as important as faith is, at least the disciples picked up on that along the way. And in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, it says this, the apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Now I'm getting happy about it right now. I've changed my mind. I'm nowhere near stopping. I'm going to enjoy this for a few. Show us how to increase. All right, something as important as faith, and I've mentioned this to you before, faith is a currency that we exchange in the spirit. Now in the United States, the U.S. dollar is our currency. And we exchange that for something we need or something we want. If I've got enough U.S. dollars and I need something, then I exchange. It's a currency. It's an exchange. And so when it comes to money, many principles are a perfect mirrored reflection that also apply exactly to faith, because both are currency. Faith is the currency of the Spirit, like money is the currency in our natural life as U.S. citizens. Now, if faith, don't blink, listen. If faith is the currency of the Spirit, any reasonable person would ask two questions. Number one, concerning faith, just like money. Number one, how can I better use what I already have? Not be as wasteful, but to be more efficient in managing and handling what I already have. That's the first question. I'll ask that about money. Okay, Lord, I want to manage what I got already better. Help me. How can I better handle what I already got? Ask the same question about your faith. Lord, I believe. Help me better handle the faith I've already got. Some of us are wasteful. Some of us are negligent, even with the faith. Some of us say, oh, God, please give me more faith. And the answer could be, well, you're not working with what I've already given you. You're doing a sloppy job with that little bit. Why are you wanting more? Question number two. For faith, just like money, here's the second question. How can I get more? I don't mean to be selfish or even materialistic. I'm just saying, if you know the truth about money, there's two questions immediately. Every reasonable, how can I better manage what I already have? Second question, how can I increase? How can I get even more money? Now, we should ask the same about the currency of the Spirit, which is faith. Lord, how can I more efficiently use the faith that I already have? And then, Lord, how can I increase my faith? That's a good question. The disciples asked it. Show us how to increase our faith. And there are different levels of faith. I may talk more about this after 11 this morning. First is the measure of faith. This is entry-level faith life. God has given to every man the measure of faith. It begins with a seed, the seed of faith. The parable of the sower, sowing seed. Jesus said the seed is the word. So every time you hear God speak, sometimes you can be alone, or sometimes you can be in a crowded assembly, and you know it when God speaks, then that seed is planted. It's like God's word, a seed in the ground. It's planted. Jesus said, but that seed doesn't remain small. This is how faith works, Jesus said. That seed, which is the tiniest of all seeds, when it's planted, it does not remain small, but it grows up and becomes greater. And Jesus said, this is how the kingdom works. And so entry-level faith, where is your faith? Oh, I've got a measure. Well, that's enough to work with. And it begins with a seed. And then there is the increase of faith. The disciples said, show us how to increase faith. We realize now the value of this great force you are working in our life, the force of faith. We realize how valuable it is, and we recognize we want more of it at work. Romans 10:17 tells you how to increase. Faith comes, or faith increases, by hearing the word of God. And then, oh, and by the way, things are different in seasons of life. Some ways I used to handle faith years ago, when I was younger in faith, I don't handle it that way anymore because of the increase of faith. I'll give you an example. When I was 29, maybe, late 20s, we were living in California, and It was a Saturday morning. Brenda and I were going to the swap meet. It's like 800 acres of a flea market. And so we drove, got out of the car. Brandy was 4 years old, got her out. And as I turned and was walking from the car, sea of people, I mean thousands of people and hundreds of exhibit spots and people selling them. And I saw one thing. It was like just all I saw was one thing, and it was a fortune teller. And those were the words on a tent or a canopy way out in the sea of people. And when I saw it, I had a measure. Oh, I had a little bit. When I saw it, I mean, honestly, it was a God thing. It was. I had never done it before, never done it since. But I got out the car and turned to walk toward it, and I saw fortune teller. And something in me drove me to that place. I mean, and literally, I didn't even think. It bypassed my brain. I just started walking toward it. And Brenda realized I was leaving her, and she said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to cast the devil out of that fortune teller. And so she followed along, and I went into the little tent there, and they were wanting money to tell my fortune. And I went in, and I cast the devil out. I mean, I got violent with the devil, and I asked, it was a lady, it was two or three, but I asked the head lady, and said, is this a gift that you have, or did you learn how to do this? She said, oh, it's a gift. And I said, I pointed my finger right to the tip of her nose, and I pressed it. I said, it is a gift, but it's not a Holy Spirit gift. This is the work of the devil, and I take authority over you in Jesus' name, and I cast this lying spirit out of you, and don't you ever show up out here to steal innocent people's money again with this evil gift you have. And I walked out. And they never went back. We lived in California another 6 months, and some of our friends would set up their booth two or three stores down from theirs. They said, no, we haven't seen them since that day. Well, now, wait a minute. I know. I started to get all puffed up about it. I started to say, my God, this power I got. And it wasn't but a day or two later, I was riding down another street in California, and there was a house that had a fortune teller written on it. And I started to say, I'm going to go do it again. But no. Wait a minute. My point now is, I've never done it again. I had a directive to do it. I feel like I was obedient, and God used it. But I was 29, and the way I cast devils out now, because I've grown, I've increased a little. I've not arrived, but I have increased. It's different. It's different now. Like, the best way to cast the devil out is just me walk in. Well, where's your faith? I know there have been times, there have been dark, evil things close by, but when the light walked by, they had to move back and get out the way. I mean, where's your faith? For instance, I remember, I still believe in casting out devils. But I remember when I cast devils out and I would scream at the top of my voice. I would be pouring sweat and worn out when I mean, and I wouldn't take anything for it. But my faith has increased, and it still is. And where I'm at now is I know my spiritual authority over evil spirits is not determined by the volume of my voice. Where is your faith? Are you increasing in your faith? Now, don't be calling me up here all week long. You want me to come to your house and cast out a devil. Because I'll tell you where my faith is on it. You let him in, you kick him out. All right. There is the measure of faith. We're all born with enough to get started. It's what we do with that little bit that determines our growth. And then there is the increase of faith. Every time you hear a word from God, your faith increases. That's Romans 10:17, should be one of your favorites. And then thirdly, after the measure that we all start with, and after the increase that's respective to each of us in unique ways, then there is thirdly the gift of faith. You'll find that with the other nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and listed them. One of them is the gift of faith. So faith comes in a measure to begin with, and then faith increases. And we have a lot to do with the speed of that. And then the gift of faith. It's an absolute sovereign, Holy Spirit motivated gift. That's when God just gives you a surge of faith. It's like adrenaline in the natural. It's like you've got a surge of faith. You realize, oh, all of a sudden I've got the faith to do this. In Jesus' name, I'm doing this. I've got the faith it takes. And it comes as a gift. It comes by impartation. That's why it is important. Paul said, I can't wait to get to you. He wrote to the Romans. I can't wait to come back and visit you again, because when I come this time, I'm going to lay my hands on you and impart some spiritual gifts. And so if you are around other people who have increased in their faith to a certain level, then the gift of faith can rub off on you. Get around people with the gift. Listen to them and learn from them. It's impartation. It's a spiritual gift that God gives to whomever he pleases, whenever he pleases. And here's something you ain't going to like a bit. I've sort of noticed God can give a gift, even a gift of faith, to people who are not perfect. Where is your faith? We'll close really this time. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Imagine it, Jesus saying, the devil's wanted to destroy you, wanted to sift you like a grain of wheat. But Jesus said, but I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. No, excuse me, that your faith should not fail. That could be an important distinction. Jesus said, oh, the devil's wanted to eat your lunch, but I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, Jesus said, strengthen your brethren. Sandra, you don't have to leave. Sandra, I heard that. It was the word of God I heard coming from. That was the Bible I heard coming from you. You ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody, Sandra's walking by right now, her phone's speaking the word of God. People are getting their faith increased as Sandra walks by. Hey, you people sit on the back row. Y'all need to come up front sometimes. Sit on the front row and see what happens. Now, this is important. Jesus said to Simon Peter, one of the top three, the devil's wanted to destroy you, but I prayed for you, and your faith should not fail. And then Jesus said the very next sentence, Jesus said, now, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Wait, listen. Jesus not only prayed that Peter's faith would not fail, should not fail, but he also knew, Jesus knew that Peter was going to betray him at the worst possible time. I mean, it could make the difference between life and death for Jesus. And he knew Peter was going to deny him. And still he said, after all that's over, and you've come back to me, I've got a purpose for you. I want you to strengthen your brothers. So whatever and wherever you are in life, and wherever your faith might be, that's the question, where is your faith? Got a need? Of course, we all have a need, many needs. But where's your faith? And don't let the fact that God already knows what a mess you are. He already knows you're getting ready to blow it in the morning before the sun comes up. You're going to blow it. But that's all right. You won't be banished from the faith. After all of that's over and you've come back to me, I've got a purpose for you to step into. Isn't that good? It all begins and ends with faith. Would you stand with me?